Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was a little bit worried for a minute. I thought maybe everybody's left the room. Nice to see you all. Great. Isn't the sun lovely? How many people are enjoying the sun? It's like I sat out in the garden and I thought I felt warmth on my face. And I thought, what is this strange experience? And I thought, I must try this again. But I mean, this week's been decent. Anybody had a barbecue yet? It's just that bit too much, isn't it? Too early to go full Barbie. Great stuff. I want to ask you a question. And it's one of those questions that you may have asked somebody this very question this morning and wished that you hadn't asked them it. This is the question. How are you? Have you ever asked somebody that question and thought, I really wished? Or maybe you're here this morning waiting for somebody to ask you the question and they'll really wish that they hadn't asked you the question, yeah? And how many of you know that? If I was to say to you, like today, how are you? You might be thinking, well, yeah, I'm okay today. But even like later on in the same day, if I asked you, how are you, it can turn, it can change, can't it? But what I want to do today is take a little snapshot of where you are in your faith journey and ask you, how are you? But in a nice, relaxed, reflective way. And what I want to do is I want to invite you into something of my own journey of faith and some of the stuff I'm trying to process, some of the things that are on my prayer lists for my own walk with the Lord. And so to help us do that, we're going to go to the best place for all matters of life and faith, and that's the Bible. So for those of you who are familiar with the Bible, you'll know what I mean if I say turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 to 21. If you want to flick through the pages like John's doing, because he's not modern. Strong. Get your iPhones out. If you've got a Samsung, leave it in the bag. Good to set a bit of division early doors, isn't it? So why not alienate people early in your talk? That's what I say. So let me read these words to you. This is one of about six passages which are life passages for me. And what I mean by life passages, I've kind of been reading them and something's grabbed me that maybe I haven't noticed before. And they've kind of drawn me in. And as I've explored them, they've unpacked all sorts of things. If you get any of those, if you haven't, start reading the Bible, you'll get some, okay? Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade people what we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we're out of our mind, it's for the sake of God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old is. One person knows that one. The old is. The new has. Has to give you a little hint in case you weren't sure. The new has come, and all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God himself was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's all right, that passage, isn't it? Gets you a little bit excited, doesn't it? Unless you're asleep. But I love that. I love that. So here we go. How are you? First one. How are you smelling? It's a bit offensive, Mark, in church. Turn to the person next to you and have a good whiff. Go on. No, no, don't. Don't. Some of you are a little bit keen to do that, which is rather worrying. Rather concerning. You might want to get some counselling somewhere for that. I've got two daughters, for those of you who don't know me, Robin and Natalie. And this doesn't happen now, but it did happen when they were younger, or at least I thought that's what was happening. It felt like that's what was happening. They, I believe, knew who to ask when they wanted certain things. So they knew that if you would ask Dad for certain things, he would say yes to. If you were to ask Mum for certain things, she would say yes to. And if in doubt, ask Dad, because he's the weaker one anyway. Do you think my understanding's correct of what's been happening? I think I'm sensing this happens probably globally across the world. This happens. But not only that, they discovered when to ask me particularly for things. Like, don't ask me for anything before 7 o'clock in the morning. And if you are going to ask at 7, it needs to be with a cup of tea. Because I'm not a morning person. To be fair, these days I'm not an evening person. In fact, to be honest with you, I'm not really a daytime person either. So there's just a little gap and you've got me at my best. So this is not good. This is all I've got to offer. But they worked out when to ask for things. But probably more importantly than all of that, they worked out how to ask for things. And I think I may be projecting this to be true. I may be making this up in my own mind, but it felt like they ganged up on me. What you feel? They would come into the sitting room. Daddy, love you. They'd sit on my knee and kiss me on my balding bit. Daddy. That's an image for you, isn't it? Balded bit, Emma tells me. It's now balded. She says, you've got to stop calling it balding. It's kind of, it's balded. But at that time when this happened, it was balding, okay? It was a future balded, okay? But a present balding. Who knew? It feels like the Greek, doesn't it, like, when we're explaining that? And he's like, it don't really matter what they're going to ask anymore. You see, by sweetness, they'd convinced me. They disarmed me because of their sweetness when asking for this something. They didn't come in with some kind of cleverly crafted presentation. They didn't come out with some watertight defense anticipating my objections to what they were going to ask. They didn't do that. They didn't have a PowerPoint slide. Smoke machines. That would have been weird, wouldn't it? Imagine that. But what they did do is, by sweetness, they would convince me, and convince me they did, that what they were asking me for is what I should give them. Just come with me to the passage that we read together. There's a really intriguing bit. It says in verse 11, the little numbers, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade people. Let's just hover around this for a few moments. Really interesting. Those of us who've been followers of Jesus for any length of time, we know what it is to fear the Lord, don't we? We know what it is to follow him. We've kind of built up something, some experience in terms of knowing that God gets us through stuff. Anybody know what I mean by that? We've had a few wobbles along the way, mind. Anybody had some wobbles? Yeah? If you haven't, something for you to look forward to. Okay? Because it's kind of like, it's the wobbles that build up the maturity, isn't it? And it's the wobbles that build up your confidence and this knowing what it is to fear the Lord, that relationship, that experience, that walk with Him, that can only be developed and crafted in those tricky times. I don't like tricky times, do you? Hate them with a vengeance. I don't even like them when I know they're going to produce something good in me. I don't mind after it. A little bit like when you've been for a run. Hate it before, hate it during, hate it just after, but quite like it in the shower. Yet another image that should not be mentioned on a Sunday morning. Counselling is available at the end of the service for those people who think he went there, he shouldn't have gone there. But it's horrible stuff sometimes, but we know. We know what it is to fear the Lord. And, you know, it might be that you're fairly new to faith this morning. I don't know where everybody is. But I would just say to you, my advice to anybody is just keep going. Sometimes it feels like it's literally one step in front of the other. And even that step's a tough one to take. Anybody relate to that? But I've been through enough rubbish to know that you just got to keep going. And that's what builds up. This resilience, that's what builds up this knowledge of knowing what it is to fear the Lord. But let me just progress a little bit further. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade. Notice it doesn't say we persuade people. It doesn't say even that we're successful. It just says we know what it is to fear the Lord. In other words, to have a walk with Him, a relationship with Him, to know Him. And so we just try to persuade. And I think sharing our faith with people is just having a bit of a go, really, and not to preoccupy ourselves with whether it's going to be successful or not, because I've kind of learned enough. I've been in full-time evangelism since 3 days before my 18th birthday, and I'm 55 now. I'm just having a go. I'm not going to preoccupy myself with whether I fail or not. Just have a go. Just have a go at 40 acts of kindness. By the way, if somebody needs to practice, my car needs filling up. Just putting it out there, you know. I mean, I believe it should have been 60 acts of kindness because I'm a fairly sizable tank, unfortunately. And but just even like at the 40 acts, just have a go. Just have a go. And like, we have a go at lots of stuff, don't we? Just have a go. Don't preoccupy yourself with the outcome. Just have a go. And I think it's in having the go and failing sometimes and messing it up and picking yourself up, dusting yourself down and going, we're going to go again, God. So to try. Just try. And in terms of faith sharing, just try. But here's a really interesting thing on that word persuade. I did a bit of digging around and I discovered something, that one of the meanings of this word in the original language is really interesting. It actually means, the word persuade doesn't mean some cleverly crafted piece of oratory or some watertight defense as if you were a lawyer in a courtroom situation. What it actually means is by sweetness to convince. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, to walk with Him, to have a relationship. We just try by sweetness to convince. I like that, don't you? By sweetness, by kindness, by 40 acts. Just by sweetness to convince, just to demonstrate, to display the love of Jesus. My friend Gav Calver, who is another evangelist. I've known him for a long, long time and we meet up from time to time. And he's the head of a thing called the Evangelical Alliance. And now for those of you who don't know what the Evangelical Alliance is, the Evangelical Alliance is an alliance of evangelicals. Really, that's some clarity this morning, isn't it? That's some sharp communication. And he represents those people basically that are Bible-believing Christians, and it's incredible the numbers of people they represent, like government, over all those sort of social issues that concern people like you and I. And he's got this phrase which I really love. He says, I want the church in the UK to be braver and kinder. Anybody want to be there? I want to be braver, don't you? But I don't want to be brave and idiotic. I don't want to be brave and upsetting. I don't mind people, by the way, being offended by Jesus and the gospel, so long as they're not offended by my way of sharing it. And I think that's the difference. We sometimes get a little bit wrong. I want to be as brave a person as there is, but with kindness as well. And he talks about, he says, look, whether you paint your neighbor's fence, I have to say this carefully because I sometimes get it mixed up and talk about painting your neighbor's face. I might have even done that in the group we met. Whether you paint your neighbor's fence and then tell them about Jesus, or tell them about Jesus and then paint their fence, doesn't really matter. Just tell them about Jesus and paint their fence. Now, I want to add just a little caveat into there. First of all, make sure they want their fence painting. Because otherwise that might set you back. What might feel kind might not be kind. So, but I want to be braver and kinder. I want to out-kind the world. I want to out-brave the world. And I'm not that brave. I'm fairly kind. I like being kind. I don't always like being brave. Because it's a bit of an inconvenience, isn't it? Being brave. You've got to kind of put yourself out a little bit. Get out your comfort zone. Deal with the flutters in the heart and all that kind of stuff. But I do really want to be braver. And I do want to be kinder. Why am I saying this? Well, I want to draw back into another little sentence from the Bible that seems to say the thing about the verse 11 bit that we've read. And then you'll understand why I asked you, how are you smelling? Come with me, for those of you familiar, to a great little verse that you will be familiar with this verse, actually. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 15. Let me read those sentences to you. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. There's that boldness again, isn't it? That brave, that confidence. And spreads through us everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Brave and kind, confidence and fragrance, the smell. How are you smelling? What's the fragrance? I often say, and it's a bit loaded, but I often say, do the people that you live around, family members, home, work, colleagues, people in your street, do they know you're a Christian? And here's the loaded bit, so be careful how you answer. And is that a good thing? Because there is a perception out there of what Christians are like. And unfortunately, whether it's you contributing to that because we've been a little bit brave but not so kind, or whether it's just what they pick up from the world, there is a perception out there, isn't there? And I think being brave and being kind is a lovely way of changing that perception. 40 acts of kindness, somebody's, whether you get a chance to share your faith or not, you'll be surprised, or maybe you won't be surprised. When I've done nice things for people, I've often met them again. But they've seen me in some kind of faith context. And they've said things to me, oh, I knew there was something different about you. So don't be surprised if you, it's not a prophecy, by the way, but you never know, you might see that person again. And, you know, like the hospital chaplaincy stuff. It's been kind, isn't it? The smelling of Jesus and the fragrance. Just to encourage the chaplain, yesterday we had a conference for a part of Elim's network, and we had some of the chaplains there. And this hospital chaplain was sharing how she'd been on the ward for years. And then a family moved in next door to her. And she was sharing how, when that family moved in and she went to say hello, the husband with his children said, oh, I remember you. you helped my wife die well. That's amazing, isn't it? I cried a bit, not going to lie. Just by being, bing, time to move on. Okay. Love the timing with which we operate here. So sharp, isn't it? So sharp. We don't want tears here. Bing, move on. Isn't that lovely, though? That's amazing, isn't it? So let's just be kind whether we see anything happen. But maybe the Lord's going to just do stuff. A little prayer that I pray. If I said I'd pray every day, it wouldn't be quite true. But I think I'm on about 2 or 3 times a week. I want to pray it every day, but there's a bit of me that forgets. And also, I don't like to get too much into routine because I find routine a bit boring and I find it sucks the life out of it for me. It's just my personality type. I'm more of a rhythm person. Okay, if you want to explore that with me, come see me. But this is what I do pray quite a lot. Lord, help me leave a bit of Jesus wherever I go. Just wherever I go. Help me just to leave a bit of Jesus. And then often coupled with that prayer is lead me to somebody that I can help on the journey of faith. That's my almost daily prayer. I want to smell one. I want a lovely fragrance. I want by sweetness to convince people. So that's the first thing. How are you smelling? Second thing, how are you running? I don't mean running like that. A few years ago, I was looking for a greetings card. Now, I tend to quite like buying those, you know, like a local artist who's painted a particular picture and they get them produced and they've got no messages inside, then I could put my own messages. I quite like those. But on one such occasion, I had to go into a shop that I didn't really want to go into. Now, if you buy your cards from Card Factory, no judgment. You know, when people say no judgment, you know they're already judging you, don't you? 100%. So I was looking, desperately trying to find, is there a card in there that I can just put my own thing on? There wasn't. How many categories of cards in these places? And I don't know whether this category still exists. It was a few years ago. But I saw this one particular one that was for boyfriends to girlfriends. And I thought, oh, now I'm interested. So I had a little look, and on the front, on one of them, you might have seen this actually, it had like 5 statements, I guess, that were supposed to be quite beautiful. Like, so for example, I would swim the deepest ocean just to land on the same shore as you. Some of you are feeling quite emotional, aren't you? Don't start crying, we'll have a ding. I would chop through the densest of jungles just to... struggling already, quite frankly. And so it went on, and there was 5 of these things. I would climb the highest mountain just to see you or put a speck in the distance. It's lovely, isn't it? You hard bunch, aren't you, you? There's no emotion there at all. It's like, move on, Greenwood, move on. And I thought, I wonder what the message is on the inside. So there are 5 of these. I won't go through all of them. But I opened it up, and inside it said, I'll see you tonight if it's not raining. Oh, no. Honestly, I am killing myself laughing at this. Isn't that brilliant? It's like on the front of it, giving it all that. But when it comes to any mild inconvenience, in reality, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. And myself, Mark Greenwood, I talk a really good game. Honestly, I've always have done. And if I could kind of make some of my steps and some of my actions get a little bit closer to my lips, I would be lethal. Anybody else a little bit like that? And it's not hypocrisy. The intention of my heart is to do A, B, C, D, because I do love Jesus, but somehow just life gets the better of me and pressures come on board and I get squeezed. And is this just me or does anybody else know what I mean? And I wonder if there's a key to how we can kind of shrink the gap between the two. And I think there's a bit of a clue in verse 11. It says, for Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. And when I did a bit of digging around, I discovered that the imagery here is like that of a fast-flowing river. Now, forgive me, I don't want to be insensitive because we know some of the damage that rivers can do. So I don't want to be insensitive to that. But if you'll just allow for a few moments that imagery of how rivers can effortlessly pick things up. And I'm told by people who study rivers, which I'm going to call riverologists, I don't know if that's what they're called, but it sounds like they could be called that, that you can't always tell how fast or how ferocious a river's moving. It's only when it comes up against something that you begin to see just how fast it's flowing, like some beautiful rocks, and then it comes over a waterfall, or in Bradford, where I'm from, a supermarket shopping trolley. It's only when it comes up against those things that you begin to see how fast it's moving. So we're not talking here about the love of Christ sort of sending us like these sort of rampant people, like crazy, crazy people. That's not what it means. It's not about activity even. It's just that we're picked up and his love carries us along. And I think Paul understood something of that. And I'll be disciplined here because there's so much in this passage that gets me excited. But I just want to pull a couple of quick strands in to this particular part. So he talks about being an ambassador. He talks about being trusted with this ministry. The Greek meaning he has literally placed in our hands, this ministry of reconciliation. He talks about this message of reconciliation. And I think Paul has something of the sense of the sheer privilege of following Jesus. And I think that he understands something of that. The love, the privilege, like I want to do this because I get to, not because I've got to. I do stuff because I've got to sometimes. And even in some of my own personal walk and faith, sometimes I pray because I've got to, because I just lose sight a little bit. And maybe, Lord, help us not to fill us with your love again, because his love's in us. But maybe just help us to realize your love again a little bit more. And so that 40 acts, what, only 40? Can work out expensive for you, love, isn't it? Maybe just go for 10, okay? Take it out your tithe, it'll be fine. Should be another ding there, shouldn't there? A klaxon. Well, I just love this imagery. And it's been estimated how far the Apostle Paul walked in his efforts to spread the gospel. According to the book of Acts, he took 3 missionary journeys. The second of these alone amounted to 3,000 miles, 2,000 of which would have been on foot. It's insane, isn't it? The average daily distance of a traveller of that time was about 20 miles, with a Roman inn being located every 20 to 25 miles along the road, a little bit like a motorway service station, really. And these inns were unbelievably filthy, immoral, and bug-infested. Again, a little bit like a motorway service station, really. Paul travelled through dangerous mountain passes, spring floods. He walked through areas famous for harbouring robbers and criminals. He braved wild beasts, which imperiled every traveller. The travel in Acts 16 alone would have covered 740 miles, and that of chapter 15 would have been 500 miles. And to think he was walking not for his own health, not to get his 10,000 steps on his Fitbit or his Apple Watch or other devices. He was walking purely for the spiritual well-being of others. See, I think Paul's outward walking was down to his inward running. That's what I want, don't you? I want to be inwardly running. Some of us are. Some of us are maybe running a little bit less. And maybe, Lord, just, yeah, help us to experience your love again in a new and fresh way. And then lastly, and this is where you move on to point 3, where people start to look at the watch and go, right, okay, so he's been going for 25 minutes. He's only done 2 points. It's going to be another 12 minutes at best. It's not. It's not. Because I just want to land this with this final question. So how are you smelling? How are you running? How are you looking? I came across this article that told me there were £3 million worth of lost pennies from the Royal Mail, Royal Mint, sorry. £3 million worth of lost pennies. For those of you who don't know, Royal Mint are the people that produce the money in the UK. And actually, they do it for different places around the world as well, I'm led to believe. But £3 million worth of lost pennies, you know, like down sofas. And I've decided this time next year, I'm going to be a millionaire. I've got 3p so far, but I'm well on my way. I'm well on my way. The average person over 50, I also discovered, will have spent 1 year of their life looking for lost items. I'm over 50. I could have had another year, couldn't I? I'm over 50, but I've only enjoyed 49 because I've been looking for lost items. Listen to this. Now, ladies, I'm just going to say something before I mention this statistic. These are the facts. This is not me being sexist. Don't email into John on Monday. The average, and I've checked this globally, and when I mention it, at first, as I'm delivering this piece of helpful information for you, you'll think that's so wrong, Mark. But once the fact has been delivered, my experience is most women go, yeah, fair point. Almost with a sense of celebration, okay? So here it is. The average British woman spends 76 hours a year looking for things in her bag. Are you with me now? Are you with me? You're not ready to stone me as I exit. Like, one thing no husband wants to hear, love, where are the keys? In me bag. I didn't want to. I went into my wife's bag in November, didn't come out till Easter Sunday. Nobody wants to hear that. How much time do you and I spend looking for lost items? I'm going to be disciplined because my time's coming to an end and I don't want this now to turn into a relational therapy session, okay? Because it's close to, I'm not going to lie. But how much time do we spend and we waste looking for lost things? It's like bonkers, isn't it? But you know what? Looking for lost people, it's not a waste of our time. It's the priority of our time. And so I wonder whether you might join me as I just pray in a few moments and say, Lord, help me to look for those that don't know you. But in a slightly different way, because verse 16, and with this I finish, says, from now on, we view no one from a worldly perspective. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it, seeing some of those people that you know come to the Lord. You just can't see how it's going to happen. Anybody relate to that? Your mum, your dad, your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister. That's just in the immediate family. Maybe your best friend. Oh, Lord, it's so hard. And I've shared so much with them. I've prayed so much for them. And it's easy to get disheartened and discouraged. But I wonder whether this morning we might feel we're going to make, without any big heavy pressure here, whether we might just say, Lord, help me to look for people that don't know you. And for those that I've tried to share with and that I've just lost a little bit of hope for, Lord, help me to not look from a worldly point of view anymore. We know nobody's beyond God's kindness and God's grace and God's power, but it's just taken a bit of a battering. And I wonder whether, just in this moment, we might say, Lord, would you lift my gaze again and help me to pray and see in my mind's eye, in my faith mind's eye, see those people come into faith. And whether, Lord, you might be so kind as to open up some conversations. So let's pray that we don't look from a worldly perspective, but let's pray also that we're carried along by his love for them. And let's pray also that we're smelling well with them so that it's not some of how we live our lives that has maybe nudged people away from thinking about the Lord, maybe because we've overshared. So let's pause, shall we, just for a few moments. I'll pray. I'm not going to invite people out for prayer or anything like that. If you'd like somebody to stand with you in prayer, of course, we're always very happy to do that. But I'm just going to pray and then I'm going to hand back over to John just to bring the service to an end. Let's just pause, and maybe in your own stillness, quietness of your own heart, maybe you might just feel, yeah, I felt really stirred by that or inspired or encouraged by that this morning, and bring that as your own prayer of response to the Lord before I just collectively pray for us. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for the sheer privilege of following you and getting to be involved in what you're doing in and around our world and the world beyond us even, Lord. Thank you for these lovely encouragements of stories that we've heard this morning from three different people, four different people, Lord, just sharing about how you're using them. And it's lovely that we in this fellowship here get to be in some way or another a part of all of that, Lord. Lord, I pray for every single one of us that, Lord, you would help us to smell well, to realize we take your fragrance into our world. Carries along with your love with a real sense of, wow, I've got this ministry and this message of reconciliation that I'm your, literally your ambassador, as though you're making your appeal through us. What a mind-boggling thought if we could begin to even appreciate some of that. And Lord, help us to change our gaze, Lord, to realize that when we go for a beer with somebody on a Wednesday night in a local pub, whether we talk about faith or not, Lord, we're just being with those that don't know you. Or whether it's in a small group alpha where we get chance to dialogue about faith, or whether it's a personal conversation with somebody about faith. Thank you that we get chance to represent you, Lord, and to be amongst those that don't know you, whether it's helping a lady who's just had a nightmare of a week and now that her card's just playing up, she can't pay for the fuel, whether it's giving lunch to lots of people in need and feeding them, Lord, and helping them to explore faith, whether it's being a chaplain on a ward and just loving people in those hard moments of life, or whether it's going to the shop to pick up a pint of milk. Help us to take your fragrance, to be carried along with your love, and to always see through the eyes of faith those that don't know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, folks.